Okay, now we're gonna do something a little bit different. We're going off-piste. Ready?
Here's a question for you. What do yoga, politics, artisanal yogurt and public relations have in common? According to my next guest, each lays claim to authenticity. Yes. What happens, though, when authenticity itself becomes so ubiquitous that it can't be anything other than, well, inauthentic? Peter York tackles this very topic in his most recent book, Authenticity is a Con. Now, Peter is a management consultant, an author and social commentator. He joins us now from London. Peter, welcome.
Thank you.
How do I know that your concern is sincere?
You don't. I'm very inauthentic myself. And that's why I respond to people saying, I mean, people like Sarah Palin say, I'm very authentic, as if that were enough. All you had to say was, I'm very authentic, I come from Alaska, I really kill animals, and I'm a football mom. And that was enough to be going along with. You could become president.
To say that you're authentic is almost, I put it to you, Peter, to disprove that contention.
It is to disprove that contention, because it's a quest that's doomed to failure. If you aim for authenticity, you don't get there. If you say you're authentic, people, particularly Brits, are hugely suspicious of you. All this kind of funny language works differently in America because they have a different way with words there.
Now your book looks at this idea across a wide range of fields, from fashion to food to philosophy. Why did you light on this as a thought, as something worth writing about?
Because if you hang out like I do, you're listening to people and listening to what they commonly say, and you're listening out for a new, modern, crucial cliche. And people were saying authentic all the time. They were saying it about themselves, and they were saying it about things. And then things were saying it about themselves on their covers, their wrappers, the authentic Tabasco recipe. And then there were artisanal cafes. There was artisan bread. Anything that claims reality is 5 times as expensive. It's always very, very expensive to get authentic.
Staged authenticity. Tell us about that as an idea.
It's literally, let's say, a politician, you offer a bit of reciprocal confidence about yourself. You deliberately fluff your lines, make yourself sound that bit more real, that bit less scripted. All those things that people, a bit like me, people I know, tell you how to do. Styling the way you look for a bit, for a show, all that stuff. And they're styling you to look authentic. They're styling your words to sound heartfelt.
Now, you have a very neat idea in your book, Peter. Authenticity, a coup for marketeers, because it divorces this idea from openness. There's a really nice idea in that.
Well, being open, being transparent, which is a wonderful idea.
It could almost be authentic.
A living X-ray. Yes. Going into the world and telling everyone everything, which is one of the things that people who do corporate social responsibility do. But, all that stuff that big corporations do to make themselves sound interesting and enthusiastic and real. But all that realness is associated with corporations which don't pay their global taxes. The moment you get up close to those sorts of corporations, the sort of new Silicon Valley corporations, and you say, what have you been doing? Then a lot of, instead of being the culture of mountain bikes and open necks, a lot of very, very important, pinstriped and tied lawyers leap out at you and tell you, you mustn't say that.
Now, it's interesting you mention that sort of sense of inner city hipster culture, because your your analysis here, Peter, sort of focuses on, well, in your case, Shoreditch in the East End of London, but it's a universal experience of inner
it's
urban life.
It's a universal
life.
Experience now, but it sort of started in rather deadbeat, formerly industrial areas of very big cities. You know, it's London and Sydney, but it's not really yet Townsville.
I commend you on your local knowledge, Peter. That's what is it about the inner city hipster that craves authenticity?
Well, you have to start with quite a bit of redundant education in something useless, because the fact is that hipsters are very middle class. So you have to have a bit of education, maybe a little bit of money that you don't acknowledge. And you've got to have a certain amount of great luxury time on your hands. So you can devote time to yourself. You can devote time to having a real life. You can devote your time to have an interesting life rather than just getting on with it, rather than just getting your family fed.
Because getting on with it, that'd be authentic.
Just getting on with it, having a job because whatever is done for money is sacred, doing things because you want to keep your family fed, that's authentic. But it's not the way, capital A, authentic people work. They work on the display principle. I'm going to show you that I'm authentic. I'm going to show you authenticity in what I wear and what I eat and where I go. And I'm not going to mess with big, shiny, multiple capitalism.
Peter York is the author of Authenticity is a Con. He joins us here on Sunday Extra. Peter, you say too in your book, this new orthodoxy of authenticity, it equates that idea, authenticity, with informality. How does that connection work?
Well, the idea is that informality, sports-derived clothing, open-neck shirts, and the idea is that somehow if you do that stuff, you're more real and more honest. And of course, we know that every sort of huckster now appears in, with a beard, with stubble, with an open neck shirt, with a tee, all those things. But it's a reaction against shiny American middle-aged politicians, against 80s chancers, all that stuff. But it's purely stylistic.
Is there a backlash coming? I mean, that's the thing with a trend of this sort.
I think people have got their eye in on these tropes, these styles, these manners, and how they work. People are beginning to make fun of them. I'm hoping to help the people who want to make fun of them. All that stuff. When a movie star goes on a chat show and is very confessional about his failings, when a movie star goes on a chat show and he hasn't shaved, let's make fun of them all the time.
We should call it out. Shame, you see, Peter, is the last refuge of authenticity.
We've got to shame them.
Now, just to take this conversation to a meta level, Peter, you're a marketeer, you're a management consultant. Someone in that sort of realm, which is easily equated with a certain degree of inauthenticity, writing a book critiquing authenticity, is there something a little bit circular in that?
It's totally circular. My world is totally circular and nepotistic and self-serving and solipsistic and all those good words. But, I hope I'm edging on a better world when I point out that people use words in a sloppy, casual way and don't think about what they mean.
I think we should have a new doctrine of authentic inauthenticity.
What a good idea.
Mm.
Well, one, you've got to make fun of it every time. Two, you've just got to consider the achievements of the industrial world that bring you fantastically cheap and often very good things in huge numbers for everyone. Because the authenticity drive, it does sometimes bring you nice bread, but at such a cost that almost nobody can afford it. It's much more important to improve bread that comes out of huge meta bakeries than to sell a few little lumps of authentic sourdough at five times the price of ordinary bread.
So if we could strip the authentic of the burden of having to declare its authenticity, we might end up somewhere good.
You might end up somewhere good. You might end up somewhere profoundly real.
Peter, thank you so much for joining us this morning and keeping it real for us. Peter York, he's an author, he's a social commentator, he's a management consultant, and he is indeed authentic. His new book is Authenticity is a Con.